We want to welcome you to Tiftonia Baptist Church on this wonderful Wednesday evening. What a joy to have all of you tune in tonight. And so we're just so grateful, so thankful you're tuning in. And we're going to talk here just a minute so some of you can get logged in. And I'm sure we'll have several log in tonight. We'll be looking forward to seeing all of you on there. Make sure now tonight, let us know you're there. That's a great encouragement. On this Wednesday night, we're going to have a special time of prayer. And so let us know that you're watching tonight. That's always an encouragement and a help to us. Then I'm going to give you another bit of instruction quickly. This is our prayer time. Our Wednesday night, we have a special time of prayer. And so I'm going to ask you, if you have a special prayer request, if you would just type that in the comments. And we'll make sure we get those tonight before we go to prayer. And so keep that in mind. And we're looking forward to worshiping the Lord together tonight in our midweek service. Let's have a word of prayer, all right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity that we have to just still come before the throne of grace. And Lord, we're thankful that we can meet by way of online. And we're so grateful for the technology today. And Lord, I'm thankful how you've just you've really binded our church together, even though we've been geographically apart. Lord, I believe in these days has created a hunger and a desire for your people to do their best to be a blessing to one another. So I pray you'll help us to continue that spirit. Lord, tonight as we come to prayer, I ask that you'll help all of us, no matter whether we're in this building or we're at home or wherever we are, that we'll bind together in prayer and faith believing, asking you to touch and to move, and we know that you will. And again, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. I pray you'll bless it from the opening to the very end, and we'll praise your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Clay's going to come here in just a minute with a song, but I first want to again tell you, please, if you have any prayer requests, you type them in the comment section there if you're on Facebook Live. And so please do that, and we'll get those, and we'll have prayer tonight here in just a bit. So don't tarry on that. Go ahead and get that done. I also want to tell you now, I want to invite you, and make sure you're inviting others out. Don't miss Sunday. Sunday's Easter. Easter Sunday. And Easter's not canceled. By the way, church isn't canceled. I've heard people say, well, we've had to shut down church. I promise you, church hasn't shut down. And we're still meeting, even though it might be digitally. But we're still meeting in spirit and truth. We have the Word of God, and we're thankful for that. And so we're certainly going to meet on Sunday. We'll have our regular 10 o'clock service now. That will be our children hour. We're calling it the Children's Sunday School. You want to tune in. Now, children, listen to me. You got to type your name in the comments there. Let us know you're there. And we're going to recognize you in a very special way on Easter Sunday. So make sure you let us know that you've tuned in. Get up and be ready for church at 10 o'clock for Sunday School. Brother Jim Beeler will be speaking. He'll have all your songs, and we have a great time, so you don't want to miss that. Then at 10:50, our regular Sunday morning service will take place. Now, Miss Deanna has created a digital invitation that she's going to share on Facebook, and here's what I'm going to ask all of our church folks to do. The moment that's shared, you share it. You post it. Let's talk it up. Let's invite. Let's promote. Let's get a hold of people that you might not have talked to in a long time. Maybe it's folks you've lost contact with. Send them a note. Send them a message. Let them know, hey, it's Easter morning. Celebrate with me. Come and watch with me. Our church is doing online. We want you to be a part of our service on Sunday, Easter. And tell them that it's going to be an encouraging time. And so you do your very best at it now, church, with all of this going on. And by the way, all of this dragging on, you know, we want to stay excited about the opportunity to serve the Lord, reaching people. We're praying for revival. And so please do your very best at sending those invitations out. And I don't know about you. I was starting to get a little put out with Facebook. I didn't get on it much because it seemed like everything on there wasn't anything encouraging. But my soul, all of this has changed that. All of this has changed that. So it's a great thing. I'm not glad that there's folks that are suffering from this virus, but I'm going to tell you, I am so thankful that Facebook is being used for the glory of God, for encouragement, the right kind of posts, the right kind of things. And so it's so exciting, so encouraging. And so I want you to be a part of it, so make sure. Miss Deanna has let me know that she's going to do that, and I so appreciate it. Miss Deanna, I appreciate that so very much. And so make sure everyone is promoting that, all right? And so those are all the announcements I have just for now. And we're going to talk about some other things when we go to prayer in a minute. But let's have a good song wherever you're at. I hope you have your Bible where you're at. And Brother Clay's going to be preaching tonight. I hope you have your Bible. I hope you gather around together. And I hope you'll sing with us. Make your house a place of song. And so Brother Clay's going to lead us in a song, but it'll be something you know the words to. And let's all sing together no matter where we're at. So Brother Clay, you come and lead us in a song.
All right, good evening. We're going to sing one verse in the chorus of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms together. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Sing it out wherever you're out there tonight.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. All right. If you've wrote down any of those prayer requests, if any of you got on a little late, we're going to go to prayer here in just a moment. So if you have a prayer request you would like for us to pray about tonight and let the church know about it, if you'll type that into Facebook comments, we'll make sure that we get those. Now, we got several requests, and so I'm going to slow down just a little bit so you make sure you can write them down, and we'll go to prayer here in just a minute. But I want you just to write it down like this. Let's pray for revival. I hope and pray you're continuing to pray for revival, that God will move, a sweeping movement in the hearts of his people, that we'd see many people saved during this time. And let's pray that God will work. I want you to pray specifically for the Easter Sunday services. Church, it'd be an absolute... Now, we've had some response from our services online, but I want you to know something. Boy, what a joy if someone got saved on Sunday. So I want you to pray, and let's pray hard. Let's ask the Lord. Let's seek his face in this matter. And we've had some response. We've had folks, commenting, and we've had to make some phone calls, and some posts have come in or some messages. And so God's working. But boy, I tell you what, let's specifically pray that God would save someone this Sunday through this ministry. And we would so be helped and encouraged by that. So let's pray and ask God to do something special. Once you write down Miss Morton, she's a lady here in the valley. She was taken to the hospital yesterday. This is Brother Bill McCoy's neighbor, and we want to pray for her. I want you to pray for Juanita Dunn, and this is Miss Janet's family member. The doctors have given just a short time. They've taken her off a ventilator, and so let's pray for this dear, precious family. Miss Juanita Dunn, all right? And she's still holding on. I want you to pray for her and pray for her family. I want you to pray for Carolyn Rollins. And this dear lady is struggling with cancer. She's just been diagnosed. This is Brother Scotty Gilley's family member. So I want you to pray for Carolyn Rollins. And then we've been praying for Brother Raymond Hibbs. Dear, precious man, good friend of ours. This, of course, is Miss Deanna's stepfather, Miss Naomi's husband. We love and appreciate them. I want you to pray, Brother Raymond, ask God to touch him. He has such a wonderful spirit about him, and he's an encouragement, and I want you to pray for him in a special way. I want you to continue to pray for this little fellow named Easton Brandon, and he's struggling health-wise, just a one-year-old, and this is it would be my cousin, second cousin, and I want you to pray for this little fella. And he's having some real health issues. Pray for his mom and his dad. And, of course, my Uncle Nathan is his grandpa. And so I want you to pray for him in a special way. Let's remember our nurses and our physicians tonight. And specifically, we have two in our church, Miss Brandy McRoy and also Miss Dana Hartline. And so I want you to pray for these two ladies. God bless them. And I pray God puts a hedge of protection around them and all of these folks working. so hard during this time. So keep them in mind and be praying for them. Then I want you to pray for Elizabeth McRoy. This is a young lady. And just to be quite honest, just spiritual needs here. The God to work in her heart. She be tender to him. And we love Miss Elizabeth. So let's pray for her in a very special way. Martha Davis. This is Miss Curran's sister. Still having some health issues. And so we've been lifting her up in prayer. So remember Martha Davis. Remember our country. Remember our president. Remember our leaders, and pray specifically for wisdom. Then pray that God will end this thing. God can end this thing. And we're praying God end this thing. With that being said, we need to be praying for so many of small businesses and our folks around here that we know and love. This, you know, the longer this goes, the more of a maybe of a hardship it might have on them financially. And so all of these things come into play. And so I want you to be praying about this. And I know you already are, but let's just continue to pray. It's going to affect people right here in our church. And so God knows all about it. But let's pray that God ends this. And he can do it. And let's pray that God would put an end to this. And we could get back. I say life is normal. I don't ever want life to get back to normal. I've seen too many good things through all this. I don't want it to get back to normal. It needs to get back to God, but not back to normal. So please keep that in mind. And then I want you to remember our military. And we have several young men that we're praying for there. Of course, Mr. Noah and Mr. Matt St. Clair. Then there's a Matthew McCoy and there's a Hunter Leslie. And there's several of them there. I want you to pray for these dear, precious young men. Then I want you to write down this man's name, Johnny Brewer. Johnny Brewer. This is Miss McCormick's Cedric and Cedric and Tanya. Miss Tanya, I'm sorry there. I had a senior moment. And her father has COVID-19. And so let's pray for her father. And God knows. And so let's ask God to touch him in a very, very special way. We love Brother Cedric and Miss Tanya, and I know many of you do as well. So let's lift him up in prayer, and so keep him in your prayers. Then I want to quickly just give you an update. As all of you know, we had a very small private family burial for Brother Roy yesterday, and it was a sweet time. I want you to continue to pray for Miss Carolyn. I want you to continue to pray for Candy and the two girls, the grand girls, and that's Skylar and Shelby. And they were all there, and there was several folks at the burial there. And he was loved, and of course we love him here, and the folks in Jasper loved him there. But of course his family. And Miss Carolyn, I talked to her earlier today, and she's doing it well. But I want you to just continue to pray for her. And again, church, we're going to have a real celebration, a memorial service for him at a later date, which I think will be appropriate. And so yesterday, we just really just tried to comfort the family and encourage the family. And so it was a very short service, but I feel like Brother Roy deserves to have a memorial service that would be a celebration of his life. He's been such a help and a blessing around here. And so, but I want you just to remember this dear, precious family in prayer. We have any prayer requests that come in? All right, Brother Ray, if you'll bring them to me there. And we'll mention these, and then we'll go to prayer. And we've got several tonight. And so Miss Rita Cole has an unspoken, so let's remember Miss Rita's unspoken. Miss Peggy Hodges lost family and friends. She also has an unspoken, and so let's really pray for these unspoken and also these lost family and friends. Let's really, church, pray for the lost. Brother Ray, pray for Easter service. God uses the outreach, yes. And pray for Carla's mom, health reasons. And so let's write these down and pray for him. Mr. Beeler, Clarence Beeler, all the way from Michigan. This is Brother Jim Beeler's brother. And he's pray for Tim, had been in a motorcycle accident. And he's going to be having multiple surgeries. So Tim, all right, T-I-M in Michigan. We appreciate Mr. Beeler tuning in. He sent a very encouraging post the other day, a message. I appreciate you, my friend. Miss Ashley Gilly, pray for Scotty's aunt. Yes, Carolyn. And we wrote her down earlier. Let's really pray for her. And then Brother Jim Beeler asked us to pray for the pharmacist. Absolutely. And all of the techs as well. And so let's remember these dear, precious folks tonight as we go to prayer. All right? And let's go to prayer wherever you're at. You're at home, gather around, and maybe we'll pray long enough where all of you can pray. But maybe somebody lead out in prayer. And we've got one more request, and so we're going to get it out. Let's get it here. All right, and Miss Melissa Rogers. Well, it's good that Melissa Rogers is on there tonight, and praise the Lord. And she has a very special unspoken, too. So that is the third unspoken. God knows all about them. And so let's go to the Lord touching these things. Appreciate all of you tuning in. I was told that Miss Larry Sexton's daughter, Miriam, is tuning in to the services down in Florida. God bless you. We appreciate you too. But if you're tuning in, this is your first time, why don't you leave us a message there on Facebook, maybe under the comment. Let us know you're there, and that would be a great blessing. All right? And let's go to prayer here. But before we do that, let's have a good song here.
All right, we're going to sing a chorus. Most of you probably know there's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. What a wonderful name. Miss Courtney's on tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Miss Courtney. And after all this is over, we got to see all these folks in person. That'd be great. And let's pray for Hinton. Lots of friends passing away. And so let's remember these dear, precious folks. And we appreciate Miss Courtney, and it's encouraged my heart. She's tuning in tonight. Let's pray tonight, all right? And there's so many folks struggling with health needs, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We want to just thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And Lord, we're just so thankful that your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, we come to you tonight knowing that you do hear and answer prayer, and Lord, we come to you tonight, and we are in faith believing. Lord, we know that you do all things well. But Lord, you tell us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we're coming tonight in our time of need. And Lord, we just come to you tonight, ask you that you'll help us to just follow you, to be obedient to thy word, to be sensitive to your will and to your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help and just work in our hearts in such a way that we would be wonderful ambassadors for you in this day. And Lord, there's so many requests tonight. And Lord, we know there's many here tuning in tonight that are struggling with anxieties and just some uncertainties. But Lord, we're thankful that you are the God of the crisis. You are the God of certainty. And so, Lord, I pray you'll help us to keep our eyes on you tonight. Lord, we do ask that you'll just move in a special way. I pray for our Easter services. And Lord, I pray for everyone, every Bible preaching church's Easter service, Lord, that it would be their greatest ever. And Lord, we're thankful that we can actually have purpose to get up in the morning because you have defeated death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, we thank you for the promise, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's all possible because you rose victoriously from that grave. And so we thank you that we're able to celebrate and have purpose of life. I pray for many tonight that's been mentioned. I pray for health needs of Miss Morton. Lord, we think of Miss Juanita Dunn tonight. I pray you'll comfort her family, if it be your will, in these next few hours to take her home. Lord, I pray you'll comfort the family. Lord, I pray for Miss Carolyn Rollins, Lord, as she's just been diagnosed with cancer. I pray you'll touch her. Lord, we know that you are able to heal her, and we're asking you to do that. Lord, we're also calling Brother Raymond up to you tonight. Lord, I pray that you would touch him. Lord, I pray that you would heal him, and I know that he would praise you, and he would thank you, and he would tell everybody how good you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you touch him in a very special way. We also ask that you would be with little Easton. God, I pray you would touch this little fellow's body. And Lord, we know maybe the doctors and the nurses are might not know exactly what's going on, but Lord, we know you do. And so I ask you to touch this little boy. Be with his mom. Be with his dad. I pray you would encourage them in a very special way. Lord, we think of all of our nurses and physicians and right here on the front lines dealing with all of these things today through all this health crisis. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them. I pray specifically for Miss Brandy McRoy. I pray for Miss Dana. I pray you'll put a hedge of protection around them. God, thank you for them. And Lord, I pray and thank you for all of these folks that are so faithful to go and to help. And Lord, I even think of Roy's, a nurse that was so kind. Lord, I don't even know her last name, but Bonnie, Lord, I pray you would help her. Lord, I pray you would strengthen her, how kind she was and how she tried to help in that time and just tried to comfort people and allow Roy to try to in somewhat stay in contact with people that he loved. And so, Lord, I pray for this lady in a special way. God, I pray for Miss Martha Davis. I pray you would touch her. Lord, I pray for Elizabeth that you would help her. God, that she would keep her eyes on you and her heart tender towards you. Lord, I pray for our country, our military. Lord, specifically these young men that we know that are serving in harm's way, we ask that you'll put a hedge of protection around Noah and Hunter and Matt McCoy and Matt St. Clair. Lord, we ask that you'll touch these young men. We ask you tonight to be with Johnny Brewer. And Lord, we know that has this virus. So I pray, Lord, that you would give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, I pray you touch him and that you'd heal him. And Lord, we again just lift up Miss Carolyn to you tonight. God, I pray you would just comfort her like only you can. Lord, I pray for Candy and Skylar and Shelby, God. I pray you will just be with them and comfort them. And Lord, we'll thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. And I pray that you'll just continue to work there. Now, Lord, there was many that wrote in requests tonight. You know each one. We had several unspoken. And so, God, you know those needs. And I pray that you would answer those according to thy will and also give the ones that asked it the peace, and to know that you're answering and you do all things well. Lord, I pray for the ones that are hurting and sick, Lord, even in our home state and hometown. I pray that you would just comfort these dear people. I pray that during this day that the gospel, Lord, will be ringing out, and I pray people will be more tender to the things of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Nate's going to come and sing tonight, and you get your Bible ready. Brother Clay's going to come and preach, and we're thankful for that. And you pray for Brother Nate as he sings tonight.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every get to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends, despite forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Wilt find a solace there.
Good evening once again. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, they're available to you, whether a physical copy or a digital copy of some sort. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Job, and the very last chapter, chapter number 42. The book of Job and chapter number 42. Those of you that know your Bible, you know very well what the book of Job is all about. It's almost a painful, not almost, it's a painful story, a painful narrative. The whole theme of Job is simple. It's suffering. It's the idea of sorrow. I don't think there's a book in all of the Bible that is more brutally honest about the reality of our suffering and the reality of our sorrow than the book of Job. And suffering and sorrow, unfortunately, is tonight a reality. What we find in the book of Job is that suffering and sorrow is no respecter of persons. In fact, Job is introduced by God himself as an upright man who fears God and eschews evil. That's not my reputation, my opinion of Job. That's God's opinion of Job. And again, faces some of the worst sorrow ever recorded that any human being has ever faced. Now, you're in Job chapter 42. I want you to bear with me and just stay with me here for just a few moments, because we are going to get to Job 42, which is the last chapter. I want to try to recap everything that's happened in the book of Job very quickly so that we can understand what Job is saying, excuse me, in verses 1 through 6 that we're about to read. We're introduced to Job in chapter number 1. A man that lives in the land of Uz. He has a lot of wealth, many possessions, a large family. And we're introduced to him, and he's a good man, a man with integrity. Again, as we mentioned, he fears God and eschews evil. And so we meet Job, and then the scene is changed in Job chapter 1 to a heavenly scene where God is actually speaking with Satan. And Satan comes to God saying, I've come from walking to and fro about the earth. And God immediately knows what Satan's intentions are. Of course, Satan in the Hebrew, meaning simply the accuser. Satan comes to accuse God and to accuse God's servant Job. Satan tells God, if you will just take your hand off of Job, remove the wealth you've given him, touch his body with physical affliction, he will curse you to your face. The interesting part about this story is that Satan has to get permission from Almighty God. God grants the permission to Satan. And in Job chapter number 1, this story turns horribly bad. In fact, it says that Job gets up like any other day, just on some normal day, and all of a sudden, messengers begin to pour in. The Bible records that one messenger, while he was yet speaking, another messenger would come, and these messengers come to Job, and the first one says, your livestock is gone, the servants, the men that you know and work with, they're gone. And then eventually, the last messenger comes to tell him that all 10 of his children are dead. They're gone. And Job gives this famous response in chapter number 1 that the Lord gives, and he's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you think Job's had enough, and in chapter number 2, his suffering continues. We find out that he's actually physically afflicted with horrible sickness, horrible physical pains. And while he's experiencing this deep pain, the Bible paints a very grim picture of him literally scratching sores on his body with a piece of broken pottery. And then he turns to his wife, who says to him, just curse God. His partner, his spouse, saying to him, just curse God. The trouble and the sorrow is not worth it. David Platt summarizes Job chapter 1 and 2 this way. Job's, when his suffering begins, he says this about suffering from this text. Suffering is often undeserved, often unexpected, often unimaginable, and always painful. This could be Job's testimony from chapter number 1. It is often undeserved. A man of integrity, a man who fears God and eschews evil. What has Job done to deserve suffering? Many of us know that in our own lives, sometimes our suffering is undeserved. But I do want to be careful here, because many times our suffering is a result of our sin. Many times we bring the suffering upon our lives. But there is times, and Job is a perfect picture here, that suffering comes without any explanation. And it's completely what we would say undeserved. It's often unexpected. Job got up on just a regular day. And just on a regular day, his whole world crashes down. His whole life turns to chaos. He loses everything that he loves and gains horrible physical pain. It's often unimaginable. I have a feeling that Job's worst nightmares would not have depicted this kind of suffering and turmoil that he's in. And maybe some of you out there tuned in tonight can say, my worst nightmares would not have saw the suffering and the sorrow that I've experienced through this trial in my life. And then sorrow, suffering is always painful. And may I say that it's not actually spiritual to just gloss over suffering. It's not actually spiritual to just tell people, shake it off. It's not actually spiritual to just try to overcome our suffering within our own willpower. God actually expects us to come to Him with our grief. He is honored in honest expressions of grief. God wants us to run desperately to Him in our sorrow. And so let's be careful. And when someone is hurting, not to gloss over their sorrow or say, well, it could be worse than it is. No, sorrow, suffering is painful. We need to understand this. The book of Job continues on. Chapters 3 through 31. There's basically monologues from Job and then dialogues with three so-called friends that he has named Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And a lot of people don't actually read the whole book of Job. You say, how do you know that? Because here's how they explain the book of Job. It's about this guy who handled a trial perfectly. Then at the end of his trial, God gives him double everything he lost. That's bad interpretation of the book of Job. Because chapters 3 through 31 is full of Job and his three called friends trusting the justice of God, trusting God's management of creation. They're even asking the question, does God even sustain what he has created? And so in chapters 3 through 31, we see the realities of our human logic in the midst of our suffering. Job is asking why questions. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar are giving bad human advice that the world would give you in your suffering today. Then in chapters 32 through 37, we're introduced to a man named Elihu. We're going to talk about him a little bit tonight. And some of the counsel that he gives, he actually gives some good counsel to Job. What we find at the end of the story of Job, chapter 42, beginning in verse number 7, God rebukes Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, but does not rebuke Elihu. And I think there's some things we can pull from his counsel. And then in 38 through 41, we find out really what was the purpose of all of Job's suffering. God shows up in a whirlwind to respond to Job. And God begins to show Job not why you're suffering. He doesn't begin to answer all of Job's questions about why bad things happen to good people. God just simply wants Job to realize who he is. Here's the title of the message tonight, the conclusion of our suffering. What does God want out of our suffering? Now, I know what we want God to say about our suffering. We want an explanation. We want to know why. We want the great mystery that is, why do bad things happen to good people? We want God to unlock that mystery for us, to solve that puzzle. But this is so important for us to understand. We're going to see this in Job 42, our text this evening. What God wants you to see about your sorrow, about your suffering, is a better revelation of himself. God wants you to know him in the midst of your suffering. Now let's see how this plays out. So in chapter 41, God has just honestly gotten on to Job, corrected all of Job's wrong thinking, his three friends' wrong thinking, and this is Job's response to God's discussion with him. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let's pray together, and we'll break these six verses down. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening. Lord, truth be told, I'm a little nervous speaking about, Lord, a topic that is, Lord, so serious, but Lord, just so real. And Lord, I know that the reality is there's people tuned in tonight that are going through sorrow and turmoil right now. And Lord, there's people that are listening that have been through horrible times of sorrow. Lord, there's people that are listening right now that maybe have sorrow and struggle headed their way and they don't even know it yet. And so, Lord, this idea of sorrow and struggle, it is a harsh reality for us this evening. And Lord, my intentions, Lord, are pure. I want us to get a better view of who you are in the midst of chaos that may surround us. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would do the speaking. Lord, that the truths and principles of the scripture would, Lord, plant themselves into the hearts of people, myself included. Lord, we just want to say that we love you. Lord, we want to say that, Lord, although we don't understand your will all of the time, and Lord, I'll be the first to admit tonight, Lord, I've had questions in my mind lately. Lord, we don't understand your will. We don't understand your thinking many times. What you do in our lives may not make sense to us, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to do our very best tonight to run to you in desperation and faith, believing that you are who you say you are. Lord, that you are our hope in hopeless situations, that you are our peace in chaotic times. So Lord, help us tonight. Give us a better view of who you are. It's in your name we do pray. Amen. So the conclusion of our suffering. What do we find in Job chapter 42? What is it that Job realizes about his suffering? The irony is he really doesn't find anything out about his suffering. Instead, he gets a better view and better understanding of who God is. So I want to give us some things that I hope we will realize tonight. Number one, just as Job realized, we need to realize that God is all-powerful. Realize that God is all-powerful. Verse number two, I know that thou canst do everything. I know that thou canst do everything. If you can allow me to paraphrase, Job is essentially saying, I know there is nothing you cannot do. You can do anything. What is Job proclaiming? He is recognizing that God is all-powerful. 31 times in the book of Job, God is referenced as the Almighty. This speaks to his power over all of earth, over all of Satan and his demons, and his power over all of eternity tonight. Understand that in the midst of your worst suffering, you have a God who is all-powerful. Let me remind you of this. God is in control. You say, Clay, my situation seems out of control. That may be, but God is all-powerful, which tells us that he is in control. In control over what? He is in control over our situation. I want you to think about this. If God does not have power over our suffering, then he does not have power to bring us through our suffering. If he does not have the power to keep his promises, then what good are they? Understand tonight that God is all-powerful. He is in control of your situation, although it may seem out of control to you. He's in control of your situation. But I want us to be reminded tonight what Job paints so vividly for us, especially chapter number 1. He's in control over Satan and Satan's workers. Satan has to come to God to get permission to work amongst his people. Listen, Satan will roam about this earth and he will wreak havoc. But Genesis 3:15 tells us that the Lord will crush his head. Satan's day is coming. This is not Star Wars, right? Where we have Jedis and Sith and we have these equal powers that just serve opposing masters. No, this is complete, total domination. Advantage God. God dominates Satan. Satan answers to God. God is in control of Satan. He's in control of our situation, and he is in control over all eternity. Christian, understand this tonight. Because God is all powerful, your sorrow will come to an end. It may not come to an end in this life, but this life is temporary. Your sorrow, your suffering will not last forever. Why? Because we have a God who is all powerful over our situation, over this world, over Satan, the accuser of the brethren, and over all of eternity. One thing that God rebukes Job for is he reminds Job, there's questions about God in Job's mind. Does he sustain his creation? And God rebukes Job and shows him, look at all of the things that I'm doing, Job. You don't even realize my power is vast. And when Job sees how God is actively holding all of the universe in his hand, sustaining all of creation, even Job himself, Job cries out, there's nothing you cannot do. Church, may that be our testimony tonight. There is nothing you cannot do. My situation is out of control, but you are in control. Satan is accusing me. Satan is wreaking havoc on my life and on my situation, but you are in control. And realize that even if temporarily in this life your suffering never seems to get better, he is all-powerful and has control over eternity. So realize that God is all-powerful. Number two, realize that God is all-knowing. Verse 2, again, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Job simply is saying here, he's thinking, I don't know, I don't understand what's going on, but what does he say? You know everything. You know, the fact of the matter is, if I can just be extremely transparent with you, sometimes the only thing that gets us through our sorrow is knowing that God knows better than us. In fact, I'll be 100% honest with you. I made the statement just yesterday. This just doesn't make sense to me. I made the statement, I don't understand this. And then I just kind of said, but I don't have to. This is what really tests our faith. We want so bad to understand. We want so bad to be able to give an explanation as to why things happen to us. And sometimes we just can't. Sometimes we want to answer, why is this health affliction hit my family member or loved one or coworker? And we just can't answer that question. Our faith is really tested when we come to the reality of, are we sure that we serve a God that is all-knowing? Job never gets an answer to his suffering. God never gives Job an explanation as to why this was my will for you. But Job does understand that God knows better than me. He even makes the phrase later on, things far too wonderful for me. Here's what we need to understand. Job does not even realize that he is not Satan's main target. In Job chapter 1, Satan is very clear. He's trying to go after the character of God, and he is using Job to accomplish that. Job is only seeing the suffering he's experiencing. He does not even realize that Satan's main target is not even him. It's the very character of who God is. Now, I'm not saying that in your suffering, it's always an issue of, it's not always God and Satan have a conversation in heaven. I'm not saying it always plays out that way. What I am saying to you is that God knows more about our sorrow and our suffering than even we do. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. So realize that God is all-powerful. Realize that God is all-knowing. I also want us to see, realize that God has a purpose. Verse number 3. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job is being very blunt here. He's saying, this purpose that you have for me, it's far too wonderful for me. I've said things, he says essentially, this sounds just like us as human beings. I was saying stuff and I didn't even realize what I was saying. Job is acknowledging that God had a purpose that he could not even fully comprehend. And may I say this to you, and I don't mean to sound harsh in any way, but God has a purpose in our suffering. God has a purpose in our suffering more than just wanting us to cry. God has a purpose in our suffering more than for us to feel like we're just at wit's end. God has bigger purposes in our suffering than just sorrow itself. And so this is where I want to talk about Elihu's counsel that he gives Job and just point out a couple things that Elihu points out and then one thing Job points out. And I'll try to be quick on these. Number one, what are some purposes that God may have in our suffering? The first one, God can use our suffering to refine our faith. Job 33, again, this is Elihu speaking, verses 29 and 30. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. I want us to consider this text, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. One purpose that God may have in your suffering is to refine your faith, to make you stronger in his word, to make you stronger as a witness, to increase your confidence in him, to increase your knowledge of who he is. Here's a quote by Martin Luther that I found interesting. As soon as God's word becomes known through you, the devil will afflict you, will make a real doctor of you, and will teach you by his temptations to seek and love God's word. For I myself owe my papists, which were the people persecuting him, many thanks for so breaking, pressing, and fighting me through the devil's raging that they have turned me into a fairly good theologian, driving me to a goal I never should have reached otherwise. What's he saying? This persecution that I faced, these trials that I faced, they made me run to God's word. They made me strengthen my faith. They made me a theologian because I wouldn't have became that without the persecutions. Understand that one purpose that God could have through your sorrow is to refine your faith, to increase your knowledge of him, to help you grow in your passion for his word and for his will. Number two, God can use our suffering to reveal his glory. Again, this is the thing that Job does not understand. God is proving a point to Satan through Job's suffering. God is being glorified through Job's suffering. When we understand that God is sovereign, we understand that all glory belongs to God. Everything that we do in life should glorify God. Job 33, verses 19 to 26. We'll read a couple verses here. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. Flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. I want us to see what just happened in these seven verses Elihu gives us. Man goes from sickness and pain with no fulfillment in anything this world has to offer to rejoicing in God's way. A relationship with God is uncomparable to anything that this world offers. God uses our suffering to show that this world just does not have it for us. That a relationship with him brings more fulfillment to our lives than anything that this world has to offer. Our suffering should remind us of God's glory and the future glory we will experience with him. Number three, God can use our suffering to teach us to rely on him. Job 34:14-15. If he set his heart upon man, if he gathers unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. I'll put it simply to you. Our suffering should remind us that we need a Savior. Amen. Our suffering should make us desperate for God's presence in our life. Our suffering should make us desperate for God's promises he's made to us. Your suffering should make you desperate for the presence of God. Amen. God is using suffering in your life to bring you closer to him. Now, that doesn't, look, just because God's sovereign, that doesn't take the pain away. That doesn't take the sorrow away. That doesn't make the trouble of less effect. But he wants us to draw closer to him and realize that I am your Savior for all of eternity. Amen. I have you. I'm not only with you, I'm for you. Amen. Let your sorrow make you desperate for God. God can use our suffering to reveal sin that needs to be repented of. Now, this sounds odd because we've already said there's no evidence in the book of Job that Job is experiencing sorrow because of sin. But this is something that we need to address in our life. Many times, God brings sorrow into our life to get our attention of what we need to turn away from, what we need to repent of. Yes. This is sad, but it's the reality. Sometimes, God has to use suffering to get certain people's attention. Sometimes, God is trying to speak to people and cannot get their attention until suffering runs its course. Job 36:21, this is what Elihu says. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. So I want to make two applications here very quickly. If you're in a place right now where you're going through sorrow, may I encourage you to say, what could be something in your life you need to repent of that God is trying to get your attention about? And I want to make another application. If you're out there tonight and you feel like you're experiencing suffering and you've done nothing to deserve it, I want that to increase your hatred of sin. Because listen, sin is the reason there is suffering. Why is there turmoil in the world? It's simple. Sin is the reason for all of the suffering. Sin is the reason for COVID-19. Sin, it's the underlying foundational problem of all sorrow, physical ailments, turmoil. It's the underlying foundation of all of it. And so drive that to your hatred of sin and allow that for you to long for the day when you will no longer experience the tyranny of sin on the earth. The struggle of sin that we experience on this earth, there's coming a day where we will no longer have to reap what sin brings upon us. And so recognize that sorrow is the result of sin. And then number five, God can use our suffering to lead us to our reward. And what is that reward? Simply put, it's him. Job 42:5, Job finally cries out and he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Notice how Job does not talk about his sorrow, does not talk about his pain, does not talk about his turmoil. What does he say in verse 42? After he sees God in a whirlwind, after God rebukes him, after God tells him all that he is, Job gets this phenomenal view of who God is. What does Job say? I have seen you. Christian, may I encourage you tonight that all of the sorrow and turmoil and pain that you are facing is leading you to your reward, which is in him. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Everything in your life, every sorrow, every pain, every tear, every turmoil, every storm you go through, all of the chaos is leading you to that moment where you can say, like Job, I have heard of thee, but now I see thee. This is where our sorrow is taking us. As you say, Clay, how does Job wrap up? Right, the book culminates to the point where Job sees God in all of his glory. Suffering teaches us not to put our hope in our health. Amen. Because it will fail us. Yep. Very prevalent for us today. Not to put our hope in riches. Yes. They will fail you. Yes. Again, another prevalent point here. Not to put your hope in a job, in a house. We can go on and on and on. Put your hope in God. He will never, ever fail you. All of the suffering, all of the turmoil that you go through is leading to that moment where you can cry out like Job, I have heard of thee, now I see thee. And so let's ask the questions from these purposes God may have. What areas of our faith might God be trying to refine through our suffering? How can we rely on God more as a result of our suffering? What is God revealing about himself to you or to others through your suffering? What sin do you need to repent of and renounce as you grow in your hatred for sin through your suffering? And how can your suffering drive you to find deeper reward in God? Ask these questions about the suffering you're going through right now. How can it help me better understand who God is and what his purpose is for me? And then we're going to wrap up. Number four, realize that God is merciful. Again, repeating verse number five. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job says he realizes that although he didn't see God, he didn't know God was there in the midst of all of his suffering. And Job now cries out, I see you. Now, the book of Job never answers the question again of why bad things happen to good people. It never unlocks fixes the puzzle of why do undeserved trials come to my life. But may I just say this to you as simply as I know how. The greatest thing we need in our suffering is not an explanation why. It is the reality of God's presence. Christian, God is with you through your suffering. He has already secured you through your suffering. Right? Job has all of these questions, and I love what happens in these verses where God responds to Job. Job's got all these questions wondering why. And God, instead of answering Job's questions, God asks 64 questions that reveals who he is, that speaks to his sustaining of the earth, that speak to his character. And so, Christian, understand tonight that what you need is not an explanation why. What you need is the presence of God. Understand that God is not distant from this world and all of its pain. God has come to be with us. You say, how has he come to be with us? God himself entered this world as a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. He was like us in every way, except he was sinless. And so let me ask you tonight, do you feel broken? He was broken. Do you feel rejected? He was despised and rejected of men. Are you hurting? He hurt bad for us. God came to be with us in our suffering. He doesn't just know about our suffering. He came to be with us in our suffering. If you feel forsaken, remember that he was forsaken because of your sin, because of my sin. And then after he died on the cross, we're about to celebrate Easter, he rose from the grave in victory, conquering your sin, conquering death, and guess what? Conquering your sorrow. So listen, no matter what sorrow you're going through, you're not alone. You're not alone in your sorrow right now. You will not be alone in your sorrow tomorrow. In every moment of your suffering, God is with you and God is for you. And because he is, all suffering will end for the Christian when we finally spend eternity with him forever. If you're a Christian and you are suffering right now, your pain is real, it's legit, and it's painful. Remind yourself of who God is, and your suffering will at last come to an end. If you're not a Christian this evening and you're tuned in, may I encourage you that you need a sure hope in the midst of your worst sufferings. You need more than just a good pep talk to get you through the day. You need an eternal promise of hope and security. You need the hope that is only found in salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you accept him today, who has taken care of all of your sin and all of your suffering? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we try our best to find out why. We try our best with our human logic to try to understand what goes on in our life. And Lord, what's even going on in the world. But Lord, it seems out of control to us. But Lord, it just should drive us to know that you know everything and you are in perfect, complete control of everything going on. Lord, I pray that you'd help us that in our present sufferings, Lord, in our future sufferings, that we would do our best not to just look for answers, but to desperately run for your presence. We would seek to know you better. We would seek to know your will better, your purposes better, Lord, that we would be desperate for you. We thank you for all of the promises you've made that have been secured on our behalf. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen.
Man, what a joy. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Trouble will make you run somewhere. Make sure you run to Jesus. If you're listening tonight, God spoke to your heart. Let him have his way. We're going to have a moment here, prayer, and I'd like for you to take the time right where you're at. Bow your head and ask God to help you. He spoke to you about something. How about refining your faith? You know, gold has to be refined. Gold is refined in the fire. And I thought this was brought out very well tonight. There might be something you're going through tonight. God's trying to refine you. I know it's painful, but boy, it sure is beautiful when the finished product is. If you're out there tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you give us a call, 825-0511, 825-0511. That's area code 423-825-0511. Maybe you that God spoke to your heart, why don't you type a comment there to encourage someone else what God spoke to you specifically about? Has he got our attention? I can promise you this time, with everything going on, it's getting people's attention. Not just to feel bad. I like how Brother Clay brought that out. Not just to cry. And by the way, there's going to be tears. God has a purpose in it. Let God have his way in your heart. Let God have his way in your heart. Allow that suffering to turn your eyes upon Jesus. He works, friend. His promises work. The world does not work. I thought about this, the boy brought that out too, and I'm going to close, but you think about it now, folks, if they had their confidence in a lot of things, all those things are gone. So where's that leave them? There's a lot of things that people were involved in. Now we're not able to be involved in it. So where's that leave us, see? So the Lord's getting our attention. Maybe you are going through something you'd like for someone just to pray with you. Why don't you call 423-825-0511. Let somebody pray with you. Over the phone. I have prayed with more people over the phone in the last 2 weeks than I've prayed in my life. Call in. Let somebody pray with you. God would have his way in your heart. That's what it's all about. Be a strong Christian. To be a refined Christian. Your faith. And see, we're going to come through this. Our faith is going to be in him even stronger than it was before. Because he's not just going to get us through this, folks. He's going to get us through it. And just like Brother Clay preached tonight, we're going to start seeing some purposes of it. And if we don't see them down here, I can promise you, we're going to see them in heaven. Amen. We're so thankful you tuned in tonight. I want to encourage you now as we leave tonight. Easter Sunday morning. You don't want to miss it. 10 o'clock. Be in your place. 10:50, be in your place. Easter Sunday morning, we'll be streaming live, YouTube, Facebook. Don't miss it. And listen, Miss Deanna has probably already put that up. If not, she's going to put it up. I want you to promote our services, get that media invitation out, and let's make much to do about the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of Tiftonia Baptist Church. And all of you out there in your homes, all of you love being a part of Tiftonia Baptist Church, why don't you shout a hearty amen, and I should hear it in the valley. I was going to say, I was hoping these folks in here would do it, amen. And hey, do this, type amen in the comments if you're thankful to be a part of Tiftonia Baptist Church. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday, if not sooner.